Hey, sports dads, are you ready for the best combination of fatherhood and football talk? Well, let's go.
It's that time to have a conversation about fatherhood and football and relation. Ready, set, hut, grab your kids and huddle up. We might get deep, but just run it up the gut. So put your jersey on and clap for the home team. It's the dad's thing, yeah, you know what I mean. So tell a friend to tune in if you heard me. To the best show in town every Thursday. Fatherhood and football, it's a dad's thing. Fatherhood and football, it's a dad's thing. Fatherhood and football, it's a dad's thing. Fatherhood and football.
Touchdown. Welcome to a Dad's Thing podcast, Fatherhood and Football. I am James Simmons, your in-studio host dad of two amazing daughters. I'm a former middle school, high school, and college football coach, as well as a former wide receiver at D1AA Fordham University in the Bronx. Today we are joined by myself. Yes, today, James Simmons, your in-studio host dad, will be on the show solo today. I wanted to take a little time and just take a little different approach to this episode, as there's been a lot of things going on in the football world. And I did not feel like at this particular point in time that, you know, I could pass up this opportunity to talk about some of the incidents that are going on in pro football, college football, as it relates to the subject matter of this show, which is about the enjoyment of football, but also fatherhood and the importance of, you know, just being outstanding role models, not only to your children, but to the children or the young men that are put in your care. So that's what we're going to talk about today on this show. And I want to start out by reading a post that I wrote on Facebook on October 12th. So the post reads, "I've had a blast connecting with teammates, coaches, and friends, talking fatherhood and football over the last several weeks. These relationships are meaningful, very important to me, and shaped me into who I am today. I am grateful for being raised by a mother and grandmothers that instilled love and love for humanity in me. If not for them and other influential people in my life, the racist, homophobic, and misogynistic coaches may have succeeded in grooming me to follow in their ways of hate. From the age of 10 to 21, I was exposed to those levels of hate. At age 10, I knew the F word was wrong, but my coach used that word as if it was the name of one of his kids. And I've matured enough past my late teens to understand going home to your white girlfriend wasn't an iteration of endearment from another coach. Football relationships are no different than any non-athletic relationships we develop. There is no such thing as shut up and insert any athletic action there. As coaches, we have to do better. As mothers, fathers, sons, and daughters, we got to do better. Call it out when you see it. Be a part of the solution and not the problem." I just wanted to be clear that when I said at the age of 10, I knew the F word, I'm not meaning the F-U bop word, but the F-A-G bang, bang, bang word. Very derogatory to a certain group of human beings that are part of what we do, of who we are. But as I said, from an early age, those words, those expressions of hate were thrown around with ease. It just rolled off of people's tongues like that was the thing to do. So, you know, as I do this show and I have an opportunity to reminisce of the great days of coaches that have influenced me, teammates that will forever be a part of my life, I didn't want to neglect the time that we're in with a lot of the situations that are going off in college football and pro football. On October 11th, the former Raiders head coach resigned from his position after years in the past making very derogatory comments towards several members of our community. It eventually came to light, and for that, he decided to resign. In his words, didn't want to be a distraction. But, you know, there's a saying, and I've grown up with this saying, what's done in the dark will come to light. Whether that coming to light is, you know, a day later, 10 days later, a year later, it eventually comes up. And one of the things that we like to see in individuals is change. And if you've not made a concerted effort to change from your old ways, you still have those things in your heart. And not that I've been a witness of his progress of potential growth, as he might claim that he's done, nor have I been around individuals that have been around him as players, friends, or whatever it may be during these years to see if they've seen those type of changes. That's definitely something that would have to come from him. But again, you know, as this great sport that so many of us love, it's not just about the great stories. It's about some of these things that we would not like to see tarnish the game that we love. I had my coach, Coach Vince Sinagra, on the show a couple of episodes ago. And he said for every 5 or 6 calls he gets, that's great, from one of his former players, one of the men who've coached for him, there's always that one where someone's a little down and out on their luck. And that's the flip side of it as well. The good, the bad, the ugly. But what we'd like to do is, when we see those things, is make sure that we address them with integrity, with dignity, and in a way that is building up people and not tearing them down. As well as that story was in the news over the last several weeks, there's also a story in college. The coach from LSU, at the end of the year, he will not be coming back to the university. And over the last 20 months, there's actually a very good article, ESPN, Inside the Unraveling of Ed Orgeron, LSU tenure in just 21 months. From going to the highest of highs of winning a national championship to having players allegedly involved in assaults of sexual natures, some of those things, losing his team in the locker room, in the field. In that article I just mentioned from ESPN, there was a quote saying, there are guys that will run through a wall for their coaches. They wouldn't run to the bathroom for him. Talking about the LSU players and the lack of respect that they have for their current coach, who will have the opportunity to coach these young men until the end of the year. So along with some of those things, just the losing of a team, I remember some situations where his team was during the summer wanting to have a rally for social justice. He was not aware of that rally when the young men did not show up for practice. But those are young men in that program, 18, 19, 20, 21. Very impressionable young men. But like myself, you know, I just hope that they had the great teachings of a mother or a father, a grandmother, grandfather, an uncle, an aunt, or someone in their lives, that the good teachings will outweigh the bad. And again, I'm not here to put anyone through the ringer. I am just going over some of the things that we have seen. And I did not want to miss an opportunity for us to be aware of the other side of what this lovely game has offered to us. I mean, it is such a great thing. I just ran into a coach actually online as I was doing some research and some studies And this coach happened to coach with, you know, one of my former college coaches. And instantly, he lended a helping hand to me just by that connection. And, you know, I will take him up on that. Give him a call. Get to know him a little bit better. Ask him some questions and some areas that I can help, that I could be helped. And hopefully, you know, help him in some areas as we are taking interest in some of the same things. But the game is great, and I would never want that to be washed away through some of the negativity. You know, there's sayings out there that, you know, be a student of the game, be a lover of the game, respect the game, the integrity of the game. It's precious to so many, and it is worthy of being protected. So I just wanted to come to you for a couple of minutes on this episode to share some thoughts on those things that have been going on that I know we are all aware of, lovers of football. But as lovers of fathers, let's learn from some of those lessons so we can prevent some of those damages from happening further in the future with those who we have the greatest of influence on. We will be back next week. We've got some great interviews, some great guys, some great fathers that'll be on the show that are lined up. Had a great opportunity to sit down with one of my captains senior year, starting center Corey Bailey. I will also sit down with one of my very first quarterbacks that I had an opportunity to work with as a wide receiver coach in our day-to-day actions at Iona College, Jason Collins. Looking forward to him. And then after that, we'll have a great interview with, I would say, an internet buddy of mine and a great father, a guy who loves his athletics. I'm looking forward to Lamont Carter being on the show as well. So with that, guys, I just want to say thank you. I really appreciate the support. We will be back next week with another episode and sit-down interview with another father and another guy who loves football. Thank you. Thank you for joining this episode of Fatherhood and Football, a Dad's Thing production, where finding and embracing our roles in fatherhood is a journey and one that we do not have to do alone. Please join us next Thursday for our next episode and follow us on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at A Dad's Thing for all your fatherhood-related content. You can also find our podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Breaker, and Radio Public.